Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to the Inspired Conversations radio show. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of AspireMag.net, the premier inspirational magazine for women since 2006. You know, you've heard me talk in other shows about how much I love, you know, energy and feng shui and intentional living. So, you know, I was so excited when I had opportunity to have Tisha Morris on the show. Tisha's my special guest today. She is the author of the upcoming Clutter Intervention, as well as multiple other books. And we're going to be talking about feng shui and the art of decluttering. And why I love Tisha's work is because she talks about the psychological, emotional, and energetic components underlying why we keep all these down things that we keep. And as many of you know, I'm in the process of building a new home and releasing the home I've had for 17 years, which means, what am I going to let go of? So, Tisha, this is a great conversation today. So, Tisha is a best-selling self-help author, feng shui expert, and a trained interior designer, life coach, and energy healer. She is the founder of Earth Home School of Feng Shui, the host of Feng Shui Your Life podcast, and creator of the original smudge spray. Welcome, Tisha.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
I am so excited to be talking with you today because I love that whole conversation about the reasons we hold on to clutter. And, you know, we've all, many of us have heard of feng shui, but I like to know the reasons why we hold on to this stuff, you know, especially as I just shared. I'm looking at things going, why do I even have this? Do I want to take this into the new home? So What led you to dive into this angle, this energy of, for this book that you wrote called Clutter Intervention? Let me make sure. Yes, Clutter Intervention.
Yes, how your stuff is keeping you stuck. And you hit exactly on the root of the book. And the mission of the book is when you can identify why you hold on to the stuff you're holding on to, the how to let go is actually really, really easy. And I liken it to weight loss. We all know how to lose weight. We eat better, we exercise more, but why do we not do it? And so decluttering is the same thing. We know we need to get rid of stuff, but we get down to it and we end up not doing it. And the reason why is because the stuff holds emotion and we don't even realize it unless you're like super conscious and hopefully after you've read my book as to the emotional components that certain items are holding. And so we start to, you know, start to declutter and we're kind of on a roll and then all of a sudden something stops us in our tracks. And most people don't even know that that's happening or why it's happening. And so my goal is to bring awareness to the why. And so that when you hit these little emotional roadblocks, you can work through it. And it's actually really healing work. Decluttering is not, it's simple, but it's not easy. It's energy work. It's literally energy work, working the body because it's releasing old stuck emotions that needs to flow through. So it's serious business. And so, you know, it deserves the deep psychological dive. Because of just how much energy you're shifting when you declutter.
So funny that you said that because I noticed many times in my life and even recently, like if say I'm working on a big project or something like that and I'm creatively stuck or anything like that or any other area of my life, I notice that suddenly I find myself organizing drawers or cleaning out my closet and I'm like, what the heck am I doing? I should be doing, you know, ABC. Is that my my soul really saying, listen, the reason you're stuck is because there's stuck energy here, because there's no logical reason that I should be doing it at that moment, that I should be doing, you know, something else. But I can always tell when I'm drawn with this strong desire to do it. Is that is that something that our innate wisdom sometimes knows, that we need it to move the energy?
I think so. And it's so funny that you mentioned like organizing and cleaning, because I always say that when you're feeling out of control in your life or want more control, cleaning is like one of the best things you can do. It's like you can actually move things and cleaning. And so that is and organizing. And I see organizing and decluttering as very different tasks. And sometimes there's an overlap, but organizing is definitely more of the analytical left brain. And whereas decluttering a lot of times is more the emotional, the right brain, and having to process emotions and intuition. So we kind of, I think it's easy to go into the organizing mode a lot of times when we are faced with some emotional things that come up.
And this week for me, it was the opposite. I think I used the word organizing, but it was purging, you know, bringing stuff to donations. And then I had another pile of what was going to come to the new house with us. And it was stuff that I held on to. And now I question going, how many times have I looked at this in 17 years that we've been in this home? Why do I even have this? And imagine all the stuck energy that was in those bins in that closet. Mm-hmm. So what have you found are some of the reasons that we hold on to this stuff? Is it a wound? Like, was I holding on to some of these items because of something not processed in the past?
9.9 times out of 10, it all has to do with identity.
Okay.
Our identity around a past relationship, our identity around a previous occupation, career, job. Identity, a role that we had as, you know, when we were a mother of small children versus now that they've gone off to college, we're holding on to identity that we had in the past that we have not fully let go of. And this, you know, our desire for things starts when we're age two, when we first go through our individuation, where we realize we are separate from the red ball. And as soon as at age two we realize that, then our red ball or the doll or whatever it is suddenly becomes a possession. And that possession is an aspect of ourselves. And so that's why, like, 2 years are like, that's mine. It becomes a possessive quality to where we relate that red ball as being a part of ourselves. And so if you think about it in terms of that, we've never really grown out of that. And so now it's, you know, it's a sweater or it's an iPhone or whatever the case is. And it's, so there's an identification that we have with that item. And obviously the closer an item to us that means something, the closer that we identify with it. But so there's that component. And then, like I said, there's these identities around, you know, keeping things from relationships. There's always a deeper reason why we're keeping something than we can even imagine. And if you keep following, asking yourself the questions, who does this item remind me of? What was going on in my life when I got this item? What memories does this remind me of? Kind of being a little detective, and you will soon get to the answer of, oh, this was a gift from my sister and I felt guilty that I didn't get her something back or something, you know, or this is, you know, something that, a pair of pants I wore when I was in that other job, and I never really let that identity go. So it really runs the gamut. And in my book, I break it down into all these areas of our lives, relationships, career, even identities around, for example, if you used to live in New York and you've now, you know, moved wherever and you're still like identifying with New York. And so you might have memorabilia from when you lived there or memorabilia from New York that you're like, why am I still holding on to this? This is like so 1995. and so there's always a deeper root, and almost always has to do with identity.
Yeah, because that really relates to everything that I discovered when I went through and was purging. I haven't been a massage therapist in 10 years. I had a thriving practice and then a spa party company before Aspire grew to what she is. I still have that Don massage table folded up. And I said, my honey goes, babe, this is leaving, right? Because I haven't even received a massage in 10 years. And so now I'm going to sit with and say, so why did I hold it on so long? I believe, just from what you just said, is it was a big part. I had closed a regional retail store that I owned for 12 years and went on a spiritual path, which led me to become a massage therapist and stop my other practice. Mm-hmm. So to me, that was part of my identity. It was like this touchstone of when I dove deep into my spiritual path. So I think just this conversation with you gave me the answer that I can now give him of, why do we keep moving that down table and I don't even get massages out of the deal?
Yeah, that's such a perfect example. And so here's where decluttering can really be cathartic and healing, in that, so now that you had the realization around the table, you can really have full 100% closure. And by closure in this case is gratitude for that time, gratitude for that path that you had with, you know, with the massage, your massage business, and getting that big spiritual milestone that was for you. And then now you can let the table go with a lot of peace and gratitude. And here's what happens next. When you let go of those things from the past, then you can 100% step into your current profession. So I guarantee you, when you get rid of that table peacefully, your current business, something will upgrade.
It's so funny because as I've been purging for 3 years, just because where I am consciously, I want less. Mm-hmm. I want more spaciousness. In fact, that's my word for this year. So I've been purging for a while, and it's funny that you just said that because my business has grown in those 3 years.
Yeah.
Right? So it
allows more new space to come in. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and in the book, right, and the full title for everyone is Clutter Intervention, How Your Stuff is Keeping You Stuck. And one of the chapters I wanted to get, because I thought there was a great quote. It was the past relationships one. And there was a quote that I'm trying to just get back to that said, if you don't clear it, that energy is in the house. Here it is. Get back to it. Any negativity that has not been worked through and processed from a relationship will be held within those associated items. That's another great way to look at the stuff you have in your home that are from past relationships, because like you said, it could be dense, heavy energy or a love-filled energy, right? But it matters, is what you're saying?
Absolutely. And it can prevent you from calling in a new love. If you are holding on a lot of past energy from previous relationships, it will prevent a new person to come in to your life. Or if you do attract a new person, it will a lot of times just replicate the previous person. It's like the same issues will come up. So it really is important, you know, when I work with clients who are, you know, wanting a relationship, the first thing I look to is, you know, what are you hanging on from the past relationships? And, you know, everything in our mental, emotional bodies is somewhere in your house. And there's a physical manifestation of somewhere in your house. It's really quite interesting. And so, you know, a lot of my approach to clutter is not about quantity, it's about quality. So someone could be a minimalist, but if they have an old love letter from a previous relationship, which just represents some unresolved emotion, then that can very well prevent a new relationship from coming in.
See, I love this topic. We're going to take a quick break, and Tisha, and we'll be back. And I want to talk about why we have such a tough time clearing clutter. Because, you know, I talk to my girlfriends, they're like, no, I can't get rid of that. I can't get rid of this. And we hear that over and over again all our lives. So let's talk about that when we come back from the break.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine, inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
You're listening to Inspired Conversations. With me today is Tisha Morris of TishaMorris.com. And we're talking about decluttering feng shui, how clutter can affect every aspect of your life. So, Tish, why do we have so much trouble clearing clutter out of our lives?
Well, sometimes we don't have a lot of problem with it. You know, sometimes there's those where you mentioned you've been purging and we get on a roll and like it feels so good, right? Like
when you
And so it doesn't always, it's not always difficult, but when it does get difficult, that's when you know you've kind of hit upon a little emotional mind field. What is it? Or like a little mind, what are those underground bombs? That suddenly trigger emotion, and it happens so quick that most people don't even realize it. And so suddenly it's like, oh, I need to go do something else, you know, when really it's, you've come across some like a old album that you don't want to have to deal with, because I mean, we all inherently kind of avoid emotion, let's be honest. And, you have to, it's kind of like going to therapy. It's like, ah, I know I need to deal with this stuff. But it's not always fun. So a lot of times when we hit those little emotional minefields of clutter, that's kind of what it's like. And it's not easy. And yet it's stuff that we need to do, to kind of clear it out of our emotional bodies, and it really directly can affect health.
Do you notice too that I've been on this path for 25 years. And for me, way back then I was a welfare mom, single mother, and I didn't have access to much except books, right? So like Marianne Williamson, Wayne Dyer. And so books became my lifeline. Do you know, for years I had 400 books and would not part with any of them. All personal spiritual development. They were like my anchors, right, to the healing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, from what I'm hearing now, and about probably around that same time, 3 years ago, I looked at them and said, I'm ready. Now, not all of them, but about 300 of them. But I looked at it as this, it was so sacred to me. I can feel myself going to cry. I was releasing them with such gratefulness in my heart for the impact they had on my life, and knew that I was being called to release them so they could have impact on someone else's.
Yeah.
It was this knowing that I was ready. But so now I see it, the reason I was holding on to them in the first place, where they were such important parts of my healing and my path, that's why no matter how many purges I've done over the 17 years, those buggers came with me everywhere. My honey would go, they have them booked. Yep. Do you know how heavy they are? And I know I can tell I'm ready to do the purging again as I, you know, as we build a new home.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, there's just layers that I'm seeing and I'm sharing the stories because I know there's listeners right now who there's some certain element, no matter how many times they purge, this is one element maybe they have that they're not purging. And I love your analysis that look at the reason they're holding on to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that example is so perfect because, you know, I, I'm I'm not one on butt tough love. I'm more of like, you know, if it doesn't feel like it's right yet to let something go, then don't. You know, this should be a graceful, loving, self-loving process. And sometimes things are too soon. And yet, you know, you want to push yourself a little bit beyond your comfort zone. But if it doesn't feel right, then it's okay. And but if you kind of get to the root of why you're holding it, and then a lot of times that's all it takes. And then from then on, it's pretty easy. Again, those books were very much part of your identity of, you know, being on the spiritual path. And I love that you kind of got to the point where you don't need those. You have your own wisdom now. And so they're not as important. You've integrated the identity of being a spiritual teacher yourself to where those books from other spiritual teachers weren't as important anymore. So there's an integration of that identity that has now allowed it to those books to go with really grace and ease and gratitude. So that's really how it should be.
One of the other lessons I've learned organically, I think, is I really believe that we're not here to hold on tightly to anything, right? That when we do, no matter what that thing is, a relationship, an item, that we're strangling the divine flow of receiving, right? Because we're using so much energy. So for me, it felt good to be in a place where I was trusting enough to let go of things. It felt inside me, internally. Mm-hmm. And so for me, you know, I do have a question because, you're a feng shui expert. Now, is feng shui and clutter clearing, how do they relate? Are they two separate things? Are they intertwined?
Right. Great question. So, you know, feng shui dates back thousands and thousands of years ago. I'm pretty sure prior to the time that stuff was not so much an issue.
Yeah.
And so it technically is not a part of feng shui, and yet, you know, it depends on how you define and use feng shui. I use feng shui to create supportive spaces for people. And, you know, and there's obviously the energy flow with the five elements and all those things. And you could have like the perfect feng shui floor plan. You could have the perfect feng shui furniture arrangement. But if you're bogged down with clutter, it doesn't matter. And so I teach people and clients that clearing clutter is the first step to feng shui. And I find it to be the most important step, honestly. So I have this, what I call the three-step process to feng shui anything. And the first step is removing the blocks, which is clutter. Clutter is just, it's just energy blocks. It's really what clutter is. It's anything keeping that flow, you mentioned, the flow of energy. It's blocks, and so it's not allowing new energy to flow in. So it's just like you're saying, you've been purging for 3 years, and so your business has been doing better because it's allowing new energy to flow in to your space. And it's really just energy and energetic principles we're talking about. And so when we hold these old anchor dense energies from the past, it prevents new fresh energy, opportunities, people, situations to come into our life. And that's why the subtitle of my book is How Your Stuff Is Keeping You Stuck, because it really can keep you stuck from moving into the future, the desired life that you want to be living.
You know what I discovered too is when I'm creatively stuck, right, because I have the magazine, mm-hmm. I have four other media brands, and sometimes I can feel something so close, but I can't grasp it. Usually in the past, you know, in my other life 20 years ago, I would push to go, I'm going to get the answer to my question. Like, say it's a, you know, article title or something that my creativity is blocked. Do you know, I get up every time now and I'll open a drawer and just start, you know, tossing and cleaning. Do you know, it's usually while I'm doing that or slightly after the answer I needed came when I disconnected from trying to push for the answer?
Yeah.
Have you had clients say that too? Like even from a creativity point of view,
absolutely.
It shifts something.
Absolutely. And this is really important for like artists, like paints or scrapbooking or kind of, you know, any kind of those artists or even writers, because a lot of, you know, artists like to keep things for inspiration, whether it's photos or clippings or you know, art supplies, papers, all this stuff. And so even our creative spaces can get cluttered to the point of blocking our creativity. And, you know, it's when you know too much is too much, is when you, that's a telltale sign that you have too much stuff, is when you feel blocked creatively, you feel blocked of kind of seeing what you want in the future, just a foggy lack of clarity. All of those can be signs of too much stuff around you.
Yeah, I'm going to say, and it's so funny because I've been with my honey, for God, 24 years. So when I start opening a drawer or a closet, he goes, I'm feeling stuck, huh? And I'm like, oh, wise guy, because he knows it's not something I would naturally want to do. That's not me, right? So, right. You know, he just gives me the little wink, and I'm like, I get out of here. But it's become almost like a healing tool for me. So that's why I'm really enjoying this conversation about the psychological, emotional, and energetic components about behind what you're doing, behind your new book, which is coming in February, called Clutter Intervention. In fact, if I'm correct, it's available for pre-order right now.
It is.
Yeah. Yay. Yeah, so everyone head to Amazon, Clutter Intervention by Tisha Morris, and you will find it. Or, of course, go to tishamorris.com. So we're going to head to a break, Tisha. And when we come back, I know what feng shui is, but I figure a lot of our listeners may not. So let's talk about what exactly it is and how can the average person apply it in their home. So we'll be back in a moment with Tisha Morris, best-selling self-help author, feng shui expert, and trained interior designer, life coach, and energy healer. You can learn more at tishamorris.com. We'll be back in a moment.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Are you ready to experience the unshakable love and unleashed passion you really want? Great news! Discover what thousands of people are doing to transform their relationships in ways they never thought possible. And your partner does not need to participate in the process to enjoy the results you want in your relationship. Relationship expert and Aspire magazine columnist Stacey Martino and her husband Paul are the founders of RelationshipDevelopment.org and Relationship U. They have successfully empowered thousands of clients with tools and strategies that really work to transform their relationship, any relationship, and your partner does not even need to participate for their proven system to work for you. Transforming your relationship is possible, and it begins with you. Take the first step and visit RelationshipDevelopment.org today.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi, everyone. This is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. So, Tisha, for those who are brand new to feng shui, they don't know what it is. Maybe they've heard of the word, but they're like, what? And how can I apply this in my life? Do you have some tips that you can share with them?
Absolutely. So feng shui was originated in China thousands of years ago. It was actually first used to locate auspicious sites for royalty. And so it's more in our modern era that it actually started to apply. They brought it into the home. And it's all the technical definition is aligning your energy with the earth's energy. And it's kind of a Pollyannic definition a lot of times, I feel like. But there's when I wrote my previous book, Decorating with the Five Elements of Feng Shui, and that's when I really, really appreciated this whole idea of aligning our energy with the earth's energy, because our spaces are really the bridge between us and nature. And with our spaces, in which is our homes, or it could be even commercial spaces, our spaces will bring us closer to nature or further away from nature. And the closer we are to nature, and by nature I mean working with these beneficial energies that enter into our front door, they swirl around our home. There's the five elements aspects as well of where to place the five elements within your home with wood and water, metal and fire and earth. And, you know, feng shui can get really technical, but it can also be really simple as well. And my approach to feng shui is loving every inch of your home, creating a supportive environment instead of a challenging environment. And there's some very simple ways. There's some complex ways, and there's some simple ways to apply feng shui. So we can talk about the simple ways. And as I already mentioned, my three-step process to feng shui your life. The first step is to remove, which is the decluttering stage. The second step is to rearrange. And then the third step, then and only then should you think about adding anything. So I came up with this because a lot of people think of feng shui as like adding crystals and plants and, you know, random stuff to your home. And that's just not the case. That is kind of like the last step, if you need it at all. Because when you do the first step, the decluttering step, it creates and allows so much new energy into your space. A lot of times that's all you need. And so that's really how clutter and feng shui tie in. It allows for, you know, you can think about in terms of just circulation, you know, in your home. You know, air is energy, just like blood and breath is the oxygen is energy flowing through our body. The air circulation through your home is the same way. And a lot of times I use the analogy of a kid on the big wheel. So think if a kid on a big wheel came through your front door and started riding around your house, where would he bump into furniture, clunky? How would he ride around in your house? And that is an indicator of how the energy flows through your home. And so is he going to bump into like a pile of random things in the floor, or is he going to run into walls all of a sudden? That would be a floor plan thing. So there's a, you know, a very distinct way energy flows, and it should flow. The technical term in feng shui is meander. Energy should meander, kind of like rivers that kind of go in that snake-like direction. And so that in a little nutshell is kind of what feng shui is. That was a long answer to your question.
Yeah, but I think it really explained it well. In one of your books that I read a few years back, Feng Shui for Your Life. I'm sorry, I don't remember the rest of the title, but I remember that one. And would you say that's a great book for our listeners to grab out of all of your books to start with that one to help them understand what Feng Shui is?
Yeah, you know, it was my first book, Feng Shui Your Life, with a quick guide to decluttering your home. It was originally called 27 Things to Transform Your Home, and which came from this Chinese proverb that says, if you want to change your life, move 27 things in your home. And so it's a really short, easy, quick book that a lot of people find. It's very practical, very roll up your sleeves kind of book. And yeah, it really is a great introduction still. It kind of is still one of my favorites. My next book, Mind Body Home, goes much deeper into how the energetics of your home work. And then also it breaks down every component of your house and how it relates to you emotionally, mentally, physically. For example, if your plumbing has a leak, the book has a section for each part to see what mind-body relationship that has with you. because our home is just a big mirror of ourselves. So even like the drawer that you mentioned that you clean out when you're stuck creatively, that
yes.
drawer represents a drawer in your psyche. Everything in your home is an aspect of ourselves. And so, but even like the plumbing and the electricity and all of that are aspects of ourselves as well. So anyway, that book really kind of dives deep into the energetics of things.
Well, what I wanted to ask you, because I see, you know, all your books, and was there a particular order in which you've written your books? Because it goes from, like, feng shui, your life, to the mind, body, home, and I can see them mm-hmm. getting deeper, and then there was the five elements of feng shui, and now we've got clutter intervention. Like, is there a path to this? Is there a reason behind
yeah.
all the books that you put out?
Absolutely. So I'll give you a little background. I was first an attorney for many years, and that was not cutting it for me. And so I went to interior design school. I always had a passion for home. In hindsight, I'm a Cancer sign, Taurus moon. I could not have escaped working with homes. I wish I'd known that when I was younger, so I could have avoided some winding roads. But when I was getting my interior design degree, I started dipping my toe into the healing arts with yoga and energy work and all of that. And so long story short, it kind of all came full circle when I purchased a home that needed a complete renovation. And I started noticing that as I was making these renovations, correlating aspects of myself on my spiritual, I was on a pretty big spiritual path at that time, or awakening, I suppose. And these correlating aspects of myself were also being renovated. And so I began to really understand just how interrelated our energy is with our home. And that I began to write Mind, Body, Home during that time and journaling all these things that were happening at the same time. And I knew it needed to be a book. And so I wrote most of that in 2006, 2007, 2008. But in the meantime, the book deal for Feng Shui Your Life kind of fell into my lap, and I took that and ran with it. And so that ended up being my first book, even though I'd already written most of Mind, Body, Home. So that's how those two came about. And then the five elements, I started my Earth Home School Feng Shui, teaching people to become Feng Shui consultants. And in my teaching, what I found was there was a lack of any books that pertain specifically to feng shui as to the five elements. Like, the five elements are in every feng shui book and also in Chinese medicine books, but not to the extent that my book is. So I saw that there was a need, and so I decided it was me to fill it. So that's how it came about.
I love that you're now training other practitioners in your way of teaching. How long have you been doing that through the Earth Home School of Feng Shui?
Since 2011, 11 or 12, now I can't even remember, maybe 2012. Yeah, you know, I want, this is such important work, and I think space and our appreciation or understanding of how important space is, just in the mainstream world and business world everywhere, is becoming more and more prominent. And, you know, space, whether it's, corporation spaces or retail spaces, and obviously definitely in our home space, is getting more and more and more attention. And so I feel very important that feng shui principles start to be built in from the ground up. And so my mission is to get these principles out to as many people as possible, particularly architects, interior designers, stagers, all of these occupations that already deal with space, these principles would greatly improve our spaces if they were integrated from the get-go, instead of getting into your house and all these things going wrong, and then you call a feng shui consultant to kind of repair. It's if we use feng shui as more preventative medicine, then a lot of things can be avoided.
What I love, it's almost like a ripple effect, right? So you're teaching them, who are then, it's just rippling out to families and corporations. I remember hearing, and I wish I remember the company, of a major corporation feng shuiing from the ground up as they were building and calling in all these experts. I remember how excited I felt that they were even considering it. Do you see more and more of that now? Like major corporations Do you do that work also?
I do. I do do, any kind of space. And, you know, I live in California, and there's definitely more prominence of it there because of a lot of Asian buyers, you know, coming into to the West Coast. And so they're kind of almost insisting on these principles, particularly, I mean, in business, but also definitely in the housing market. I'm the real estate agent who, you know, if they have an Asian client, if the bathroom's in the wrong place, they won't even, you know, or if the alignment.
They won't consider it, or they'll want a complete remodel because they know. I mean, this isn't something that was just, it's proven for thousands of years. I've always been drawn to it. It just, even though I might not understand it, the intricacies on a deep, deep level, I know truth when I hear it, and that's what attracted me to it many years ago. It just makes sense. How you feel in your space resonates with how you'll feel outside of your space.
Yep.
So, you know...
Yeah, I know.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I was going to say, I came into feng shui kind of a skeptic. I mean, I'm kind of a skeptic at heart. You know, I was an attorney and honestly, seeing the changes or the results, the things that happen with my clients has really made me understand and appreciate feng shui on such a huge level. And now, I mean, when you work with this stuff all the time, you start to see patterns. And the patterns really are very consistent with the feng shui, what I would call rules. And for example, when people call me for financial issues, 85% of the time, the bathroom's in the wealth corner. You know, there's like these telltale signs that happen over and over and over to where you can't deny that this stuff is truth.
Oh, I want to talk more about that when we come back from our last break. So when we come back, okay. I'd love to have you share a couple of the stories of a transformation someone went through in one area of their life. Because to me, for one, it's exciting because I know it's happened in my own life, but I want the listeners to hear something that they can actually, you know, take in and feel. And we'll be back in a moment.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ladies, it's time to remove the veils of pain, shame, and self-doubt that are smothering your inner light and leave you feeling disconnected from the truth of who you are. You are a radiant, divine woman of strength, love, and wisdom who deserves to live a life of joy, love, and inner peace. Life and spiritual coach Mal Duane, who is often referred to as the champion for restoring women's self-worth, supports women in stepping out from behind the energetic veils that separate them from the truth of who they are. It is possible to move through your fears, break through limiting beliefs, and release the shackles of shame and self-judgment. And you don't have to do it alone. Take the first step in reclaiming your life by visiting MalDuaneCoach.com for empowering resources and supportive services.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Thanks for joining me for Inspired Conversations. With me today is Tisha Morris, the author of Clutter Intervention, now available for pre-order on Amazon, as well as the author of many other books. So come on, Tisha, you got to share some of these juicy stories that you've come across in your years of serving clients? What transformations have you seen?
Well, it's, it can be anything from, like, as soon as I leave, they get a call about some kind of money coming through. Or it's so funny, I've been having a lot of my students, actually, that take my certification course, you know, they're kind of functioning their house along with the course. And the stories that even my students come up with is so fun to hear. You know, they change their desk placement and all of a sudden get a raise at work. You know, there's a lot of times it's these little quick windfalls. But honestly, I'm really going for bigger lasting changes when I work with clients. I'm about you manifesting the life you want to be lived, you beaming out energy. And so being really conscious of, you know, do these drapes, curtains in my living room, are these even me anymore? Or, you know, is that big antique armoire blocking my energy? And so really being conscious of every single thing in your home. And I know that sounds maybe a little daunting, and it is a process to get there. But it really is beaming out energy, just like law of attraction. And so thinking of your space in that regard so that you can, this is like, you know, feng shui is not a one-time application. It's an ongoing lifestyle, in my opinion. And I'm being conscious of everything you bring in. You know, everything in your house right now came from the past, unless you just now came home from the store. And is it a past that you want to take forward into your future or not? Maybe yes. Maybe life is great and you don't want to change anything. Obviously, life will change regardless. but just being conscious of this, is this still who I am? Or is this something else who I want to step into? And just being really conscious about it. And so anyway, I know I kind of segued off of your question, but I want listeners to think about it in terms of that so that they can manifest the fun stories.
Yeah. I've also heard that even for people, like, look at, if you're single, I've heard, look at your bedroom. Is there room energetically and clutter-wise for another person in your life? Because they want a relationship. But if their bedroom, if their closets are full and they got a bunch of stuff piled up on the other side of the bed, that can affect it too, right? Even attracting someone into your life, your soulmate.
Absolutely. I can go to someone's bedroom and tell you the state of your relationship or if you are in one at all. That's
amazing.
How powerful this work is, yeah.
That's extraordinary. But, you know, you've been in so many homes, you hear the stories, then you know, prior to you doing the work in the home, and then you hear the stories after. So it's almost like you're building up years of case studies of, like, whoa.
Yeah, it's fun work.
And that's what I was just going to ask you. When you go into someone's home, every job is different. Yes, you're working with the principals. So it has to always be exciting. You must love to see the shifts that happen for them in their lives. Mm-hmm. It has to be so fulfilling.
It is. And you know, and it's, there's so many, a lot of times, so many ahas that happen in the moment while I'm there. And so, you know, not everyone has these, you know, these crazy stories where they win the lottery afterwards or anything like that. But what happens is they, you know, all change, all good, real change has to start within yourself. And it starts with a different perspective, a different mind shift, a different viewpoint in the way you've been doing things. And when that happens, when I'm there, for example, or I witness that and get to see that, there's like this aha moment. They have a realization. For example, you around the massage table and the ripple effect that will have once you let that go. But that realization is the impetus to putting things into motion, and that's how change takes place.
I love it. And you must hear every excuse, too, of of why someone can't get rid of it. You know, get rid of something. In one of your chapters, it says to keep or not to keep, common cover excuses. So I was looking at the list going, oh, yeah. I've used that one. So, you know, I can read them, but what are some of the excuses you see most often?
just in case is by far the biggest one. It's like the fallback for sure. Even in the, it's a very common in a lot of clutter books. In fact, sometimes it's been named Justin, like the name Justin case.
Oh, I love it because it's so true that you look at it and go, you do feel that way. It's like, well, what if I'm going to need it next month? Now that this is the question I've been asking as I prepare, you know, to go into the new home once it's complete, is, Linda, you haven't looked at this in 6 months. It's been, or a year or 2 years, it's been in a bin. So how can you say just in case? You've already proven you don't need it because it's been out of
right.
sight. So I've had to shift the question I ask myself, because when I get caught up in just in case, well, I can't use that excuse if I haven't used it or even looked at it and as yeah. long as it's been in a bin. That's helped me release a lot of this stuff.
Nice.
How about the money thing? But I paid $10
oh, yeah.
or $100.
I paid a lot of money for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to go back to the just in case for a second. Just like you just, you know, you realize this on your own, but for listeners, whenever you hear yourself saying that, know that it's a cover excuse for something deeper. It's a cover excuse for something that's really on the emotional level. So we just use that excuse to avoid dealing with emotions. So just know that. And then, so the money, yeah, it costs, I paid a lot for this. Yeah, that's a very common one. And it really pulls on our guilt strings and our kind of self-punishment of, I kind of should punish myself and stuff it back in my closet because I shouldn't have bought it. I paid too much. I didn't wear it. And it's if you have any guilt within yourself, those types of things really, really tug at it and or trigger it, I suppose is a better word. And that's why, again, that's another example where we just abandoned the decluttering project right there altogether because suddenly we got triggered and we don't want to deal with it. But it's still going to be there in your closet. That guilt is still sitting there in your closet. On a practical level, a lot of times we overvalue the things that we have, even though we may have paid $100 for something, but its current value is probably pretty negligible. And we often overvalue, kind of like when we either go and trade your car in, like give you the trade-in value, you're like, what? My car is worth more than that. Well, we kind of do this with everything we own. And we overvalue our things, but we undervalue our experiences. And so even if you wore or used that item that cost $100, even if you used it once or wore it once, the experience of it, or even the experience when you purchased it, the elation you had and being like, oh, I love this sweater, I'm so happy I have it, you know, that is worth something. And so I think we undervalue our experiences around certain things.
Oh, I believe we do. And one of the other things I noticed, too, I used to have a story around, and I know this is going to be a woman thing. Well, I can't get rid of that outfit, you know? And
yeah.
I see now it's not the outfit. It's the memory of what I did when I was wearing that outfit.
Exactly, exactly.
And so I'm constantly purging my closets now, but I was one of those of, you can't get rid of that suit. I used to use the excuse back when I had a different lifestyle. When I had the suits, right? It's like, oh my God, you paid so much for that suit, and it would sit there. If you asked me when the last time I wore it, I'd probably say 2 or 3 years. So about 10 years ago, I finally let them go, and what felt good to me is I donated them to Suits for Success.
Yes.
Because then
yes.
I felt like the value was still there and was being given to another woman, and she would value it, right? So
yes, exactly.
It's kind of like learning to play, for me anyway, learning to ask myself different questions. And and that's
exactly.
what I love about your book, because it incites me to ask those questions.
Good, good. My job has been done then.
It is done. And I have it in front of me. I was blessed enough to receive an advanced copy. So I have read so much of it and really resonate with everything that you're teaching. But what I love is the real-life application. Right? You make it so it's understood, the processes and the principles are understandable, because once they are, it becomes easier to implement. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've walked my talk. I've moved 15 times since 2006. and at one point sold everything I owned except for what would fit in my car to drive cross country. So I've definitely walked my talk.
Well, I'm so grateful for you and the work you're doing in the world, and I want to thank you for joining me today, and I want to invite everyone to go to TishaMorris.com, learn more about her products or services and her original smudge spray. Thank you again, Tisha, just for being here and sharing your wisdom with my audience.
Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome. Have a great day, everyone, and until next time, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness, my friends. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.